So just this last week, I had the absolute pleasure of being able to hang out with some of the most amazing podcasters at PodFest, and which is one of the largest podcasting events. Now, let me tell you that I was actually really close to not attending at all. We actually only decided a couple of weeks beforehand to attend, and it was actually because a really good friend of mine, Jen Hensel, the founder of Inspired Influencers and host of the Women in Podcasting show, prodded me to. And I don't know if you're anything like me at all, but I am a massive introvert, which is why I don't enjoy attending these live events. I get exhausted, a little bit grumpy, and I feel totally out of sorts because I'm a very routine person. So I hate breaking my normal routine. And also, well, I generally come back home feeling defeated because I didn't end up doing what a lot of us aim to do when we go to a live event. And that is to network and create a ton of visibility for ourselves, our business, and our podcast. But this particular event changed everything for me. I have finally cracked the code on how to use a live event to growth hack your podcast. And I'm not talking about becoming a speaker or an event organizer or even sponsoring the event. No. I am going to share a really, really cool growth hack that you can use to create so much visibility before the live event that by the time you get there, people know about your podcast and are approaching you instead of having to approach them. My name is Deidre Shen, the CEO and co-founder of Capture, the world's first AI-powered podcast copywriter, and this is the Grow My Podcast Show. Welcome to another episode of the Grow My Podcast Show. And I have such a cool topic to talk to you today about. It's seriously something. So we literally stumbled upon this, like stumbled. And I'm pretty excited to share about it because I think it's pretty cool. My name is Deidre Shen, the CEO and co-founder of Capture. And I'm joined today by my co-founder, Bonna Rye.
Hello.
So yay. We have just come back from an amazing few days at PodFest. I mean, still exhausted. And my heel actually has a bruise on it, I think.
Your heel has a bruise?
Yeah, I think it's like from the walking, the amount of walking and standing you do.
But yeah, I think the walking was good, but the standing, because we don't stand that long.
Yeah. It was insane. All day. But even with all of that, even with a bruised heel, I would say that this event has been life-changing. Why are you laughing at me?
It's made a mark on you.
Yeah, it has. It really has. It's changed my life and my body. Yeah, putting it out there, life-changing. Okay, and it's not because the PodFest community is just a genuinely caring and committed one. Like Chris Krimitsos, he's seriously created one of the best communities. And by the way, FYI, he's actually going to be a speaker at my upcoming free Grow My Podcast Summit. So keep a lookout for that when I start promoting it. You've got to get in on it. So it's not just because of the amazing community, which it is, but it's not because of that. It's also not because of the immensely valuable things that we learn from the amazing, amazing speakers, all of which, by the way, they were gold, like capital G-O-L-D.
Yeah, they were amazing.
They were so good. No, those weren't the reasons why this event was life-changing for me. And to illustrate to you why it was, I'm going to take us back to only, and this is crazy in my mind, it was only 3 months ago.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It was only 3 months ago. And Bonna, I want you to join me in telling this story because I think you are the first hand recipient of, a lot of the I don't know what to call it, the blowback, I would say my disappointment, my first hand disappointment. So, okay, so 3 months ago, we went to a mastermind in Mexico. And it was pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Mexico, so what's there not to like?
Yeah, mastermind in paradise.
Exactly. So can you tell us a little bit about our aim going to that mastermind and then what actually ended up happening?
Yes. So we were very excited for this. I think we're excited for sun because it's been a long winter. And, as the name suggests, it was Mastermind in Paradise. So that was our main thing was okay, we are part of this coaching program with other, you know, dare we say it, elite entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs who are very serious about their business. Mm-hmm. And we knew kind of could understand exactly what we were going through and were going to be giving us, you know, we were going to be able to mastermind with them. Now, the trouble was we'd obviously didn't know many of them, mm-hmm. given that obviously we're all very remote and things like that. But we were, you know, relatively newish to the community as well. We knew our coaches. But yeah, we were going in pretty, not really having a lot of established relationships, which if we flip it around can be a really exciting thing. It can be like, oh, that means there's even more people to meet, mm-hmm. right? But so really our aim was to say, okay, let's have a look at all of these people that are going, because they did have a special Facebook group and a list of everyone who was going. And we knew that people were going to be there completely. They were devoting that week. Was it the week that we were there?
Almost
to just this thing. And you were literally in a different country away from your day-to-day. And it was the ideal opportunity. I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to, like I said, mastermind the other entrepreneurs. We had a relatively new offer at the time that we were just still fleshing out to go, oh, how do we think through this? These are the perfect people to do that with, meet our coaches in person, but also potentially land some new clients, because mm-hmm. we had a very, very specific offer that every single person in that group was going to need.
Yes.
Now, whether they already had a solution for it or not, we don't know. And that was the point that we thought, well, let's talk to them about it. What's not working for them? What would make them actually take us on as potentially as their partners?
Yes.
So either collaborating by way of, you know, kind of working out what the offer could be, or hopefully converting on our offer. So I think those are some pretty big goals. We set ourselves walking in completely cold to a big group we didn't even really know.
Yeah. And then at the time, I actually came back. I remember, I think I had felt it even during this, because I was like, oh, I feel, again, as an introvert, I just want to, like, you know, at the end of the day, I just want it. I'm hiding.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to any more people. My soul feels drained at this point in time.
And knowing you for as long as I have, it was still surprising to me. Now, I'm not saying I'm amazing at these events. Not at all. Not by any stretch of imagination. As you always say, we can always be better. But I'll never forget what happened in that first night where even I was taken aback. And it made me realize what a big challenge this was for you and how much it really means for you to put yourself out there, because it is actually a really, really big mental hurdle. So obviously, because that's why Liz wouldn't have been there with us. We had, which evening? Was that a previous event that I'm thinking about now?
Where you were,
I don't know.
I was in tears.
Oh, yeah. It was a previous event.
Okay. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Okay. But that would, I think, illustrate the point, right?
Yes.
Where you were walking into a room full of completely new people, which is very scary. But you were like, I think I need a break. I think I'm going to cry.
I did say that. Anyway,
I'm
going to cry. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So I tried my best, but I think this is why I was really, really disappointed. And it was a lot of disappointment in myself, because I let my fears, my insecurities, my introversion get in the way of meeting these new people and creating new networks. I mean, we did like a handful.
Yes.
But not as much. I at the time didn't feel like we had really optimized that opportunity.
Yes.
The best that we could.
Yeah.
So then this time, so fast forward now, three months later to present day, almost a week ago, this time with Podfest, I think we knew, the good thing is that we're good at learning, right? So we were like, okay, that was not ideal. Let's now learn from that and go, what can we do better this time?
Mm.
So we were on a mission, because we had our first ever beta launch coming up for Capture, and we needed to meet people and speak to them about what we were doing. Because more than anything, if you know any new business, any entrepreneur, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, whether it's tech or coaching or anything, you need to have product market fit, right? So you need to be able to validate that people are going to be willing to pay for the thing that you're putting out there.
Yes.
And so we needed to speak to people in order to validate that. And so Bonner, he described what it was like having people come up to us, or even when they found out or realized who we were. And I don't mean to sound that in a braggy way, by the way.
Oh, the opposite.
We were like, yeah, it was complete surprise. And it was because, that, like you say, that was never our aim.
Yeah.
But it's great when people recognized the thing that you're building.
Yes.
And you barely had a chance to probably step outside of that, but the fact that people already knew about it was absolutely insane. So I think when we, so one of the things that, you know, you put yourself out there to do this time around was to volunteer, and you know, and meet people literally because we were meeting as literally greeters.
Yes, we were. I put us down as meter and greeters.
Yes,
because
yes.
I was like, I'm going to put myself in the most visible spot. I have to yes. do this. Put myself out there.
Literally wearing a lime green t-shirt.
We can hide anywhere.
No, could not. He said, come talk to me.
Yes.
Honestly.
Yeah.
So I remember we were doing that on the morning of, and you know, we met one of our collaborators, Josh, and he introduced us to someone. And we were used to this by the time where you introduced yourself and they ask you what you do, and they're like, oh, okay, tell me more about that, and we have a back and forth. And this is where, you know, as we said, I think you were saying, oh, this is, you know, what we're creating. And she just said, shut up. It's you guys. And we're like, what?
What?
Clearly she's mistaken. Now she thinks for someone else. Really, my brain's going there, right? She's like, I've signed up for your beta program and I can't wait. I was like, wait, how do you know about that? Hey, what? You know,
yeah.
That was our reaction.
Yes.
So definitely not bragging anyway,
no.
Because we are playing it so uncool.
Incredibly uncool.
Right.
Well, you know who we are.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, okay, this is the one. And then obviously, because, you know, I'm always trying to track stats where possible. So how did you hear about us?
Yeah.
A little quick survey. And she couldn't even remember. This is the remarkable thing. She's like, I don't know. I may have seen an ad. I don't know. But I am so excited about what you guys are creating. I can't wait. How is it going? And we had almost like 40-minute conversation.
Yeah.
And we ended up running late for the thing that we were supposed to be at because it was such an engaging conversation.
Yeah.
And then we were like, surely it's just a one-off. This is really super observant person who's trawling the web for all sorts of things, right? So she was very excited about it being female-founded too. And then we went to this other event, Jen's event, which is amazing. And after that, you know, you got up, and during that event, you got up because we were there. We just had a quick, you know, did a quick 30-second thing about what we were doing. And again, like at the break, we normally go to the bathroom or something. And then we have people approaching us.
I know, we almost had a line.
We had a line of people.
We had a line of people wanting to talk to us. And I'm like, what is going on?
I was genuinely taken aback. I'm like, I need to go to the bathroom in these breaks. What is going on? And then like literally people lining up, as you say, no joke.
Yes.
And then, you know, and people saying, oh, I'm so thankful I got into your beta program.
Or yeah.
Saying, I'm on your wait list. Oh, I really hope I get in.
Yes.
And it just blew my mind.
Yeah.
And they're already like, I'm so, we get to meet you guys. You get to meet the co-founders.
Can we take a photo?
Yes.
Oh, like, what?
I'll have to drop one of the photos that we received from the day.
Yeah.
Both of us are like, sure.
This is very odd to us.
We'll put that in the show notes for sure.
Wow. Okay. So yeah. So we had, and I think there was another example as well.
Yeah. It was just insane. I think, and also, yeah, because that happened. We were just like, this is just a fluke.
Yeah.
You know, where people just have come in and, you know, they're just really observant people by this point. But then we also had, I think, then multiple people afterwards who had said, well, we actually were in the exhibitors hall, and they were like, we've seen you guys. Oh, you guys are, you know, so we were just waiting out of the, we were like, this is insane. And then one of your summit speakers, the wonderful Ina, we were having a chat with her, and she just flagged down people that she knew, right, from her own to do with us. And she said, oh, hey, you know, what are you guys up to, et cetera, let's go get some lunch. And of course, she introduced us to say, hey, you know, these are my friends, Mona and Deidre. And one of the guys noticed the t-shirts we were wearing that had Capture, world's first AI powered. They said, oh, is it you guys? Is it you guys? And I was like, well, hello, my name's Mona. I don't know. And then he pulled out his phone, and then he's like, oh, it's you guys. Oh, goodness, I'm signed up for your beta program.
Yes.
And I'm like, this is crazy. This is insane. Because now this is just like, this is just a random person, really, that, you know,
someone
that we knows, a friend of a friend. And they've already heard about us, and they're excited about beta launch.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not a coincidence.
Yeah, it was crazy. So what I want to discuss is what we did actually before the event.
Yes.
By accident, clearly, because there was not a strategy. We did not design this, okay? But obviously,
I wish we did.
But everything is like, you know, I think for us, every time, and a lot of experts, I know that you guys, you listening, do this as well. Is like when something works, you're like, oh, okay, let me go back and see what did we do? What did we do that made it work? So I want to talk about what we did before the event that created all this visibility, which meant that, like, it made, and this is why I say this event was life-changing, because with all of this energy coming towards me, I was able to get out of my own head.
Yeah.
You know, like, and when I say get out of my own head, you know, that self-talk that we do when we go into big rooms, like, I'm going to be lame. No one's going to want to talk about me. I'm going to make myself look like an idiot.
Mm.
You know, like, I don't have anything interesting to say. All of that self-talk, right? Like, that left my head. I left my insecurities at the door, and I just were so happy to meet people.
Yeah.
Complete strangers I never interacted with in order to growth hack or capture. That was the whole purpose and we were doing it. Now, we did this for a very specific reason. So I get that, okay? We have a product with the beta launch. So it was a very different context. But what we're going to do is take that concept. So what do we do? And tell you how you can do it to grow your podcast. So we're just going to like plug a podcast in instead. And so the way that we'll talk about it is going to be specific to you want to go to an event and you want to obviously get visibility for your podcast. Mm. This is pretty much three steps that you can take to do that. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick 30-second ad break and then be right back with how to growth hack a live event for your podcast. It's time to meet every podcaster's new best friend, Capture, the world's first AI-powered podcast copywriter. Capture will take your episode's audio file and create drafts of episode titles, descriptions, show notes, promotional emails, social media captions, and a full transcript for you. So these are all editable, by the way. So all you have to do is upload each episode's audio file, view the drafts that Capture writes for you, make your edits, and then download the outputs to add to your publishing platforms. So what do we mean by that? You can add your edited episode titles and descriptions straight into your podcast publishing platform. Your social media captions can go straight into your social media scheduler. Your promotional email can go straight into your email platform, and your show notes and transcripts can be added straight to your podcast website. Capture is currently in beta and you, my friend, can get free access for 4 episodes. Yes, get your full podcast promotional package created for you for 4 episodes completely free. So all you need to do is head over to www.capsho.com. www.capsho.com and sign up for Capsho Beta today. Okay, so this particular strategy, what we're going to take you through is something we literally stumbled upon by attending PodFest.
Yes.
It was not designed. We made a lot of mistakes, but we've learned from them. And we're going to bring you an awesome, awesome hack to use at your next live event to grow your podcast. And in fact, we've got another 2 live events this year that we've scheduled in. Oh, so yes. I think we're going to be doing this over and over again. So we can definitely loop back in and then tell you how that all goes. Okay, so let's take you through the 3 steps of what to do before a live event in order to grow your podcast. And I would say start doing this at least 4 weeks beforehand, if possible, if you have the time. Okay, so step number 1 is you want to identify and go to a live event where your dreamiest listeners are attending. Mm. Okay, this is key. This is so important. Now, the reason why PodFest worked so well for us was because for Capshow, our whole, like, what we do is designed specifically for podcasters. So it was like, gosh, it was a field day for us. Yeah. Yes, look at all these podcasters.
Yes. Yeah.
And so that's why it was so effective for us. So this is like, depending, whatever your podcast is about, whoever your audience is, you have to identify a live event where they are all hanging out, where they are there for that specific reason.
Yes.
Yes. And your show, in this case, I'm just trying to, you know, put in the analogy that we're using exactly. And your show is just a very compelling solution or partial solution. So similarly with Capture, it was funny because we went in going, oh, this is going to be interesting. There's people who are, for example, presenting on how to write a really good set of show notes.
Mm.
And our solution does it for them. Is it going to be awkward? But these people are like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So, can I include it in your presentation?
Yeah, the presenter for that particular talk was like, please, like, can you give me a video so I can show it?
Can I try it if I could before? Yeah, can I show it?
And then the way she presented it was like, I wish I knew these guys before I put my presentation together.
Right.
And it was just, and that's the thing. That's why you want to really always have, I think, a collaboration mindset.
Yes.
So, because there are going to be these potentially awkward in your mind anyway situations. But wherever your dreamiest people are hanging out and your podcast helps give them a solution or something that they're there to learn about. Yeah. And it's going to be the critical thing.
Yeah. Now, I'm totally going to butcher this example up, so bear
Love
with
it.
Me. But we met someone at PodFest who wasn't quite our ideal client, but he was like our ideal user, but he was like, let's give it a go anyway. So he has a podcast that is like Dungeons and Dragons. I'm still trying to wrap my head around it, but basically I think the concept is that there's maybe five or six of them that hop on. He's the dungeon master.
Yes.
And basically they talk through a game.
As they're playing, I think.
Of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
And specifically about they're like a band that's touring America. Oh, I don't know if that was just a particular episode. Anyway, so
that's the part that I don't understand.
Yeah. Anyway, so we've done the dragons. Now, okay, so I'm going to assume, because it's pretty big, what I know is that Dungeons & Dragons is a pretty big, you know, there's a lot of people going to it. So I'm going to assume that there are events, conferences, communities, things that they have together.
Yeah.
For some reason, the thing that comes to mind is Comic-Con. I don't know. I apologize. Let's assume that there is some kind of Dungeons and Dragons in Comic-Con, right? This person could actually, that would be a perfect live event for him to grow with podcasts, right? So again, not necessarily an expert as such, but if he's looking to grow his listenership, like they are his people.
Totally.
So this is the thing, when you think about what type of live event, like there is always going to be a live event where your dreams listeners are going to.
Absolutely.
Where they're congregating.
Yeah. We met some people and one of them was an alpha tester for us, but who had very specific podcasts around helping people date or find love.
Yes.
Again, you know, that's a very, again, it's not about going to, a PodFest is great, obviously, because they're learning how to make their podcast better.
Yeah.
But really, they would be going to this. Again, around relationships, there's so many, you know, small and big events going on because it's such a universal problem that people are looking to solve.
Yes.
So yeah, it would just be about helping yourself in those environments to be like, well, this, you know, this is what I cover in my podcast.
Yes.
So I think that's another example as well.
Okay. So that's the first step. Okay. Identify and go sign up to a live event where your dreamiest listeners are attending as well. So the second step is to find a way, and this is almost the hack part, this is find a way to source an attendee list.
Mm.
Now, again, PodFest, because it's so community-focused, was actually relatively easy because they actually designed or they leveraged, I guess, an app called the Hoover app that had everyone in it that was registered to attend. I know a lot of other events have Facebook groups. They start Facebook groups for that particular event. I mean, we've been to many, you know, Tony Robbins, like even virtual events and stuff. Like they've got so many like Facebook groups for each thing that comes up. So if you can find a way to source an attendee list, and you might need to if there are some that don't give out or they don't have a Facebook group, whatever, then just see if you can, you might need to go down a little bit of rabbit hole.
Yes.
Find a way to get to a point where even if you have to piece it together, then, you know, just by looking at who's commenting on what and, you know, who's posting about what, it might be a little bit of a slow burn, but this is the key, really. Like,
absolutely.
You need to be able to find the actual people that are going.
Yes. And this is a step where I would say quality over quantity. I think we were very lucky with PodFest, as you say, because there's a lot of people and everyone's very, the community is just so excited.
Yes.
But really, the point here that you're making is a really important one about, even if it's 5 to 10 people that you can identify, the 5 to 10 people that are obviously very they're evangelizers of the event and hence whatever that event is going to be about, so the topic area, which means they're extremely keen as someone who's looking for that solution, or they are an influencer, let's say, of sorts in that community. Both really great people to meet, to try and meet. So one of the events that we're going to, one of the two that we're going to, doesn't have as big a, let's say, push as PodFest did.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at is exactly what you say. Whenever that particular organization is posting about the upcoming event, just on their social media, we can have a look to say who's commenting, who's excited, who's saying, I can't wait to be there.
Yes.
And then just do a little bit of light stalking, nothing crazy, just to say, okay, where might this person fit in my ecosystem? Are they a collaborator? Are they a potential customer? And what are the things that they're talking about? Which really gives you that insight into, well, okay, A, if I can find this person at the event, amazing, but where can I find more of these people?
Yes. And there are, you know, I know that Wana said it's quality over quantity, but there is, in order for step three to kind of be a lot more effective for you, we do want to aim for, if we can, to get 100,
of course,
people on, yeah, you know, on that list. And by 100, we actually mean who they are. And if you can, with that light stalking, find an email address,
yes,
for them.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's step number two, is to find a way to source an attendee list. So then step number three, which is the follow-on from that, is to actually start to run a traffic campaign to your podcast. So can you talk us through that, Bonna, as a bit of an ads expert? How would someone run a traffic campaign and to what? Because I think there are two things that we tested before.
Mm, yeah, and we continue to test. So we'll have to make sure that we give updates on that. So like Deidre said, get a list of at least 100 people. So in my mind, I was like, because Podfest had like 1,500, 2,000 people. So to me, that was, so yeah. So when I say quality, we want to get to at least 100 people, which is not as hard as it sounds. Mm. It's not as hard as it sounds, because a lot of events are quite big and, yes, can grow down. Once you find a certain person, then they, yeah, can lead on to the next. Relativity wise, the reason 100 is important is because that's the smallest number of people you need to be able to upload your contact list onto Facebook. And the two things that we've been trying, and we've been testing this out, we've been talking about this with a few other collaborators as well, is the first thing that you can do is you can run a traffic campaign to a particular episode. Mm-hmm. So whenever we do, well, you should be doing this anyway if you don't, but whenever we do episodes and plan episodes, we always plan them around hot buttons, and you'll know organically which ones are performing really well. So for us, as an example, the episode we did, very specific one on episode titles, did really well because people were like, oh yes, mm-hmm, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there for how to come up with a podcast name, but not so much titles. So that did really well. So we knew that was organically a good one. So it's just about running a traffic campaign, and traffic just means eyeballs, just sending people to click through to that episode, where you can just run a very, very simple, this is what the episode is about. You can throw in a few different graphics, but send them directly to listen to that episode, yes, and see how that does. And the other thing that you can try, the other traffic campaign that you can try, is every episode should have a set of show notes. If you don't have them, Captcha is definitely a great solution for, yes, you, because I know that this should take a long time to create. But having a blog style page with your show notes that go into the actual, for the actual episode, but also run traffic campaign to that particular destination. Yes.
So it's still to do with the episode, it still builds profile visibility for your podcast, yes, because obviously it's going to be branded, but it's running it to a specific episode. And then you can see, obviously, the metrics with ads as to what people are clicking through to and things like that.
Yeah.
And obviously we want people, I mean, this is twofold. One is you'll
be able to
grow your audience. Like, you know, most, yeah, people, you will get click-throughs and hopefully listens from that.
Yes.
But really the main reason why we want to do this is because this is all about visibility, yes, right? So people start to see your brand, your podcast name over and over again. Then when you go to this live event and you introduce yourself and you say, blah, 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 I'm the host of Insert Podcast Name, then hopefully, and this, you know, if you've got a good podcast name, then that's all the better. Then people will be like, I know you from somewhere.
Yeah, like, oh, it seems familiar.
I've seen you before.
Yeah,
exactly. And that is how you start to create the visibility before the event. So that when you get to the event, it's no longer a cold, like, let me, you know, meet people and explain who I am and what I do. I mean, you'll still probably have to do a little bit of this. Don't get away from that. But if you can already start to build this visibility with, even if it's like a pocket of people, in, you know, for us, as Bonna said, Podfest had thousands of people. We did not reach thousands of people.
I think we tried, but no.
Yeah, it's not possible. So we only knew, you know, a handful of people. And then from there, it grows and grows and grows. Because as we know, with all communities, people talk and they share,
yes,
right? So
yes,
the main aim here is just to be creating, how do we create visibility for you and your podcast before live events, that you're going to a live event, not cold, not like I'm a nobody.
Yes.
But actually with a bit of presence.
Yes. And I think one little thing to add to that is it is going to make you stand out in the sense of, with Podfest, everyone had podcasts or were involved in that, you know, kind of podcasting space. And we were someone that was doing something to help podcasters, right? So similarly, if you're going to an event, like the example, it's a Dungeons and Dragons event,
yeah,
and you're just that fun person that's come up to say, we also love Dungeons and Dragons and, yes, have this really fun podcast.
Yes.
I mean, that's not going to be the ad copy itself, but that's how it's going to come across, to be like, oh, these guys are really cool. You know,
yeah,
yes, it hooks them. It hooks, yeah, people. So I think that's the thing to remember, that it is going to make you stand out as an adjacent offering to what the people are already looking for.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. So in summary, how do we get you to get out of your own head whenever you go to these live events? How do you growth hack a live event for your podcast?
Step one, identify and go to a live event where your dream is listeners. That's important. It's key that they are attending where they are congregating. Step two is find a way to source an attendee list. And step three is just run really cost-effective traffic campaigns to particular episode, particular show notes of your podcast. And then go for it.
Have a great time.
Swagger. Put that swag on. Swag and swagger on. All right, you guys. Well, we're going to leave a cheat sheet for this, these three steps in the show notes. So definitely head over there and sign up for that. And if you liked this episode, please take a screenshot and share it on your socials, at stories, or whatever. Tag me. I'd love to, at Deidre Shen. I would love to. I just know, like, that would make my day, I think, if someone were to do that.
Especially for this episode. This is a fun one.
This is a fun one. Okay. I hope that was valuable, and we will see you on the next one. Bye.
Bye.